Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com with Chris Fetters, and it is Wednesday afternoon. We thought it would be a quiet day, which we should never do because it always hits the fan when you least expect it. First bombshell to hit this morning was Pete Carroll stepping down from the Seahawks, which was kind of expected for those in the media business. And then Nick Saban going ahead and announcing that he was going to retire at University of Alabama. And I think that, you know, just being around people as much as I have the past couple weeks, it was kind of the thought was that Nick Saban would step down or retire if he won the national championship. If he didn't, he'd be back for another year and try to just rely on the portal and recruiting Nick Saban's last year and take advantage of that. But he did indeed step down. Does this come as a surprise to you at all, Chris?
Well, total surprise for me. I mean, I don't obviously follow the SEC very, very closely. Definitely don't follow Alabama all that closely. I mean, watch games and things like that, but you don't really, I don't really focus on the behind the scenes stuff or what's going on with any sort of detail. What I am learning, though, as this news has come out in the last hour or so, is that it sounds like the people that really do follow this stuff quite a bit saw some stuff pregame at the SEC championship game between him and Kirby Smart. And it looked like when they were kind of doing their pregame, kind of how are you doing, how are things going type of thing, while the teams were warming up, it seemed like, at least from a body language standpoint, that Saban was kind of giving off vibes like maybe he was giving a farewell type of thing to Kirby Smart. So, you know, maybe the signs were there, maybe they weren't, but clearly, you know, being up in Seattle and focused on Washington and what they were doing with their championship run, definitely wasn't looking at the minutiae of what was going on with Alabama football. And I'm sure we all saw this coming at some point. I just didn't think it was going to come today.
And people are saying, why do we care about what's happening at Alabama? Why do we care about Nick Saban? What does that have to do with Husky football? Your head coach is going to be in the crosshairs amongst some others. And, you know, I've been dealing with people quite a long time, you know, especially, you know, when people talking about the Kalen DeBoer contract extension. And if there was one thing that would be concerning for Kalen DeBoer, or one job he would take, if offered, it would be Alabama.
Yeah, and that will tell you a lot about his confidence as not just as a head coach, but as a man, because you don't want to be the guy that follows Nick Saban. You just don't. I mean, history will suggest, and this isn't just about college football. This is about every sport imaginable. I mean, I can go back with my ties and looking at the Premier League and what's happened in England when guys have tried to follow legendary coaches like Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United or Arsene Wenger, Arsenal, guys like that. It hasn't ended well at all for at least the first guy. So the first guy going through there, he always is going to get beat up, and it's always the expectations are going to be oversized on the guy that takes over for Nick Saban. So that's the only thing that I would think would be the only hiccup. Do you want to be that guy, or do you want to be the guy after the guy?
Oh, I think there's plenty of guys that would want to be the guy. And I think that the guy who wouldn't have any problem doing that is Dabo Swinney, but would he leave?
Well, you've got, again, like I said, this tells you more about their makeup and how the coaches at that level are wired. Because if DeBoer is like that, then you've got to assume Dan Lanning's like that. You've got to assume Lane Kiffin's like that. You've got to assume Kirby Smart's like that. You've got to assume even like a Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame is like that, or a James Franklin at Penn State.
Or Mike Norvell.
They're just different guys. They're just different guys.
Yeah, you know, and the contract extension with Kalen DeBoer, what we'd been hearing quite some time is that, you know, he just wanted to wait until after the season to address that. He didn't want any distractions while the season was going on, and there was a lot of numbers being floated out there. You know, I think before the Pac-12 championship game, the number was 8.5, and then after the championship game, it seemed to be about 9.5, and you know, after he beat Texas, you know, I was hearing numbers as silly as 10 years, $100 million. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but there's some big numbers being floated out there. And if you're looking to be at the top of your profession, Alabama is definitely a place that you can attain that. And you say, why would Kalen DeBoer go there? And, well, his daughter's going to be playing softball at University of Washington. Alabama has a pretty dynamic softball program in itself. So, is there a cause to be concerned? I would have said yesterday, probably I would have been about a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. I would say today, probably a 7.
Yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't even know what the scale is. And as far as about Kalen's daughter, you know, playing softball at Washington, what have you, she can be playing in front of a world-class coach in Heather Tarr. I don't know what the situation is in Alabama or Michigan or anywhere else that people might think Kalen DeBoer might look. But I, you know, why I don't think he's necessarily going to style his situation over what she wants to do, because she can go do her own thing anywhere she chooses. She doesn't have to stay at Washington. She could go somewhere else, but she could just as likely stay at Washington even if he leaves. You know, so there's a lot of leeway there. But they do have younger kids, the DeBoers. So it's not just about her, too. There's also a younger daughter, if I remember correctly. So, yeah.
And by the way, speaking of the younger daughter, he just bought her a horse.
Well, yeah. No, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Kalen DeBoer not signing the contract now. And I think these two things can absolutely be true. I think he is completely 100% genuine when he says he wanted to focus completely on the championship run before doing anything else. No one's going to argue that. Anyone in that situation would want to take the same amount of time. That being said, he has hired one of the super agents in Jimmy Sexton. That he is a top-notch agent. And I guarantee you, his agent is telling him there is no reason to worry about signing this thing right now, because you have all the benefits of getting a chance to see where all the chips could possibly fly. They may have been thinking this ahead, knowing that Nick Saban could be retiring. They already, because the bottom line is, it sounds like the ground had already been kind of, you know, softened in terms of all this stuff. If you start listening to now some of the reports that are coming out of the SEC territory with regards to maybe some of the signs that led people to think, oh, maybe this wasn't as big of a bombshell down there as people are letting it to be. It's a bombshell here. I mean, I certainly wouldn't have thought it was coming, but the people down south, maybe they thought it was coming and maybe they could see the signs. But the bottom line is, Jimmy Sexton's as wired in as any agent out there in the business.
Yeah.
And he's as good as it comes out there. And if he's telling Kalen DeBoer, you do what you got to do. You focus on your championship run. That's what you have to focus on right now. Keep the main thing, as Kalen DeBoer would tell you. At the same time, his agent is sitting out there going, look, there are some serious, serious earthquakes that are going to happen in the next 72 to 96 hours after this championship game is over. Let's see what happens. Yep. Let's see where the chips fall, and then we'll go from there.
Well, if you want to get an idea of the way Jimmy Sexton works, I'll give you the perfect example of how Jimmy Sexton works. He's always got his guys looking at the next opportunity. And if you want an example of how that, what that looks like, look at Jimmy Lake. When Jimmy Lake was the defensive back coach at the University of Washington, he hired Jimmy Sexton. He had Jimmy looking at the next thing. He had Jimmy looking at being the defensive coordinator. And when Jimmy was a defensive coordinator, he had him looking at head coaching jobs all over the country. You know, so, you know, his first client up here was really Jimmy Sexton. So, you know, Jen Cohen, you know, dealing with Jimmy Sexton and Jimmy Lake at the same time. I don't know which, if she understood at times which Jimmy she was dealing with half the time, but Jimmy Sexton's always got his guys looking at the next job. And if you think that this is the first mention of Alabama that Jimmy Sexton has mentioned to Kalen DeBoer, because I can promise you, Jimmy Sexton, since day one, has had Kalen DeBoer looking at his next stop and using that for leverage. I think the big question, Chris, is he a fit at Alabama?
Who knows? I mean, there's only going to be one way to find out. And the other reason is that, you know, between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, what did they have, like 7 or 8 coaches? They have never gotten it. They haven't gotten it right 100% of the time. In fact, they very rarely have gotten it right, especially since Bear Bryant. Ironically enough, speaking of Bear Bryant, Kalen DeBoer was talking to the press today, earlier today, about because he's one of the finalists for the Paul Bear Bryant Award with National Head Coach of the Year. Head Coach of the Year it's affiliated with the Heart, if I remember correctly, the American Heart Association. And so it's just kind of how weird is life, Kim? How weird is life? Nick Saban steps down. Kalen DeBoer happens to be talking about an award he could possibly get that was named after Bear Bryant. Yeah. On the day that he retires.
The thing of it is, Chris, and I'll be honest, Kalen DeBoer has won so many Coach of the Year awards right now, I've lost track. You know, I'm looking at you, did we write this up? And we're going, is this new or is this something? He's won every – is there one he hasn't got?
Oh, I'm sure there has been. And the fact is there's a number of really good coaches that are a part of all this stuff. Like Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri, I think, is a part of it. A number of really, really good ones. But the funny part about it is none of the other coaches, I think, from the Final Four teams, except for DeBoer, is up for the award. So what are the odds that he's going to get the award? I would say pretty darn good, especially like you just said, considering he's won almost all the other head coaching national awards that are out there.
Yeah, and if you think Washington fans are the ones on full tilt over this news and possibility of losing their coach – boy, take a look down at Eugene, because Dan Lanning is being mentioned prominently for that job down there as well. And Oregon fans are just, they're on full tilt.
Well, I think bottom line is when he first took the job, I mean, his connections with Alabama are right there for everyone to see. And that's the question you talked about, fit. No one really knows how Kalen DeBoer would fit down there because, not to bring back those types of things, but it would be like a better version of Mike Price going to Tuscaloosa. Right. And we all know how Mike Price didn't work in Tuscaloosa. And so, but he would be a much, much better version of that. But at the same token, there's no connection. There's literally no connection. Whereas with Dan Lanning, there's all sorts of connections to Saban, to Smart, to all the people that mentored him before he decided to become a head coach at Oregon.
This is Tony Kornheiser show. I'm Tony. We expected someone else. So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
And you take a look at the list of coaches that are being mentioned, and a lot of the times it's just names, but Lane Kiffin's name is going to be mentioned prominently for that job as well. Lane Kiffin, Kalen DeBoer, Dan Lanning, Dabo Sweeney's name has been mentioned quite a bit for that job, and Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. When you take a look at the coaches that are being mentioned, Dan Lanning has the big buyout at $20 million, but that's not going to scare Alabama away. Kalen DeBoer's buyout is $12 million.
It's interesting that no one really is talking about Steve Sarkisian. Would they think about bringing him back?
I think Steve likes it where he's at. I think if Steve was to go anywhere, I think Steve would be really open to talking NFL jobs. I think he, I mean, the Raiders offered him the job back in the day and he said no, and Lane Kiffin took the job. The Raiders are needing a head coach right now. Would Steve Sarkisian look at the Raider job?
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder.
You really do. You really do. And then, you know, Michigan opening up probably because Harbaugh's leaving, but that sounds like that's going to go to Sharon Moore. That's what the fan base would want. I don't think Kalen DeBoer would be a candidate for that because I think they're going to stay internal on that. But I think it's going to be real interesting. And when these coaching jobs start filling up, for example, at Michigan, at Alabama, and, you know, whoever else moves in this atmosphere, as well as the NFL starts filling out their staff spots, how many of the Washington assistant coaches are going to be candidate for other jobs? I know, you know, Jamarcus Shepard is going to be targeted by not only college teams, but by NFL teams. So, you know, Scott Huff is a real hot commodity, too. So there's a lot of guys on this staff that could be impacted by this move. Coaching carousel? It's always crazy, isn't it, Chris? I mean, it's wilder than the transfer portal in recruiting.
Yeah, I was the other reason I brought up the Bear Bryant Award stuff that DeBoer talked about today is that he was on record saying that basically outside of Eric Schmidt, who's going to be the defensive coordinator at San Diego State, he's already gone. I mean, he stayed through the national championship game, but now he's gone. Everyone else, according to DeBoer, is staying, even though, like you said, there's a lot of schools that are hot after some of these top assistants. And for him to say that really almost kind of intimates that they're well into the process of not just retaining the guys for next year, but also hopefully I would assume finalizing his deal is obviously the major piece to all that stuff kind of happening. So, you know, Troy Dannon's on record. He was on a video, I think, with Adam Brenneman, the Big Ten guy who also did a big thing with Kalen DeBoer. He was on record because they talked down in New Orleans before the Sugar Bowl saying that literally the deal that has been put in front of Kalen DeBoer from Washington's end is something like UW has never done before. This is unforeseen. This is uncharted territory for them. I wonder if an extra zero was put on after the Sugar Bowl win, and then maybe even another extra zero after all this news has come out today, because there's absolutely no question. Because before, I was on record saying I thought they would probably double it, maybe go up as high as like 8 or 8.5, you know, a couple months ago, because it was clear the extension was going to happen. It was just a matter of what was the number and for how many years and the buyout and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But now, if it's not at least 10, I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned if it's not at least 10.
If Kalen DeBoer moves, it won't be because of money.
What I want to know is, because you mentioned the 10 years, 100 million thing, if that really does end up being the number that's publicly reported or whenever things get signed and the deal's done, what do you think the buyout on 100 million is going to be? Because I remember back when they talked about Jimbo Fisher, wasn't his buyout something like 60 or 65?
It was stupid. Some
absolutely absurd number.
Yeah, Scott Woodward and his long-term contracts. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those things, and you've heard me say it, you know, 100 times. You know, the dollar amount isn't what's important. It's the devil's in the detail with the coaching pool salaries, you know, the commitment to NIL, the buyout. Is there going to be an escalation cause? Is there opt-outs? Is there exclusions in that? Like we always said, the devil's in the details. You know, some people telling me that an MOU had been signed. I don't buy that for a minute, not from what I've been told and, you know, from people who would know. So I don't buy that. But people who are pretty familiar with all the parties involved, yeah, you should be concerned about Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, because word I got was they've been vetting him and following him all year long. I think the two things are, does Alabama think he's a fit? And does Kalen DeBoer think he's a fit? Because what I'm hearing is if he gets offered the job, he would take it. So I hate to speak for Kalen DeBoer, and I that's just what I'm hearing. So hold on, buckle up. This is going to get interesting.
Yeah, and as we are talking, we're doing this Wednesday afternoon. Jalen McMillan has just decided to turn pro. Any thoughts about that?
Not a surprise. I expect that to happen. Rome Odunze to go pro. Dylan Johnson, I think, is 50-50. Roger Rosengarten, I don't think will go. Who else are we, you know, more concerned about? Jabbar Muhammad, I think, is probably a 50-50 thing, maybe is 60-40 going pro. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that we would really be interested in following, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, you know, again, this is, everyone thinks that our season takes in kind of an end here once the season's over, but this is when the real busy stuff happens, because this is when all the stuff that players and coaches and teams couldn't do while the season was going on, now this is when they get to basically do their spring cleaning.
Hey, Chris,
guys move, players move, coaches move, everybody moves. Yep. You know, guys go pro, guys stay. This is when it all happens.
Yeah, Chris, I think University of Washington, I think the four schools that were in the finals, I know Washington and Michigan for sure. I think their portal entrance into the portal has been extended to the 15th. It's the 10th today. And with Nick
Saban. Yeah, Kim, hold on. I think I saw that because of like Saban, you know, but depending
they get
on there's
a coach. They get another 30 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alabama. Coaching change gives you another 30 days to enter the portal. Yeah. So, all right. Hey, Chris, let's wrap this up. We just wanted to do a quick emergency podcast and just a reminder for those who are not subscribers. We ain't done yet. There's a lot going on, and we're roughly, what, 60 days away from spring football beginning?
So, if they use their calendar that they used last year, Kim, yes, about 60 days.
60 days of spring football. We got basketball. We still got a ton of stuff going on, and we do have a promotion going, 60% off your annual subscription. And for those of you not familiar with dogman.com, the good stuff is not on the front page. The good stuff is on the message boards, the hardcore football, hardcore basketball, and hardcore recruiting stuff. That's where you're going to find the good stuff. So 60% off. We'll run that for another week or so. So if you're not a subscriber, sign up. You won't be disappointed. Our retention rate for those who subscribe, it is incredibly high. Once people subscribe to us, they're addicted. They don't leave. If you're a true hardcore Husky football fan, dogman.com is where you want to be. Any last minute thoughts, Chris?
No, just, you know, the coaching stuff's going to sort itself out, and there'll be drips and drabs and big rumors that come through. That's a big reason why you should check us out, because it's not going to be the stuff on the front page. It's going to be the stuff on the message boards, because you've got thousands of fans that are going to be, everybody's got a source. Trust me, everybody's got a source, and they're talking to everybody. And so the message board is going to be radioactive, and it already is radioactive. And then on top of it, the Jalen McMillan news. You know, he told me specifically right after the Pac-12 title game, he said these next couple games, if we make it all the way to the championship game, how we do and how I play is going to play a huge part in what I decide to do. And so turning pro, I'm not surprised, because he had a monster season. Even though he missed a handful of games, he still came up big when it mattered. And best of luck to Jalen. I think he's going to kill it.
All right. For all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnell, along with Chris Fetters. Go Dogs.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.